Hey, welcome to the Faith NFM podcast. We appreciate your time today, and we encourage you to head on over to faithnfm.com, where you can find the notes for this presentation, as well as links to all that's happening around Faith Assembly. Our hope is that this message helps move you forward in your faith journey.
My name is Blake. Always a privilege to be with you on Sunday's morning, celebrating the most worthy name of all, and his name is Jesus. Come on now. And so I get excited. It's my favorite part of the week, and I know it's your favorite part of the week, right? Come on, give me a wink, wink there. We've been in this series called Calm in the Chaos. Last week, we talked about praying through the chaos, praying through some of the things that hit us in life. And today, we're going to continue that, looking at some verses that's been a cornerstone, a bedrock for us in life. This man by the name of the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit used to write this book of Philippians. He's in prison. He doesn't know what his future is going to turn out to be. He doesn't know if he's going to be executed, doesn't know if he's going to be set free. He's going through some things in life. And if there's one person that understood your anxieties, if there's one person that understood some of the fears that you face in life, some of the stresses that you face in life, it's this man by the name of Paul. Now, we've agreed these past several weeks that life can be pretty crazy, right? There's a lot of chaos out there. Maybe it's your busy schedule with your family and juggling activities night after night, day after day, school, sports, extracurriculars, clubs, church with your families. But then you click on the news and you see all the wars that are happening and all the craziness, and you ask yourself, has the world really come here? And if we're not careful as Christians, as people who follow Jesus, we can absorb the craziness of the world, the craziness that we've put and built into our own lives, and we can let that cause a lot of anxiety in our lives, a lot of craziness, a lot of chaos. And we want to be people that find the calm in that chaos. So Paul, he writes this beautiful passage in Philippians. It's his farewell in chapter 4, verses 4 and 7. Let me read it again. You can follow along on the screen with me. If you're taking notes, join me here as well. Rejoice in the Lord always, is what Paul says. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. This is the kind of verse that your grandma buys you for your coffee mug. This is the kind of t-shirt that you see in the Christian bookstore, the poster, rejoice in the Lord always. Paul goes, I will say it again, rejoice. How many of us know there's moments in life where it's really hard to rejoice in the Lord? You get a flat tire. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so grateful right now. Your kids are not listening, and whoo, you want to take them outside and be like, yo, you better fly right or you're going to have some times with mom and dad right now. Oh, Lord, I got to rejoice. Or, hey, maybe we get a little more serious. Your spouse lies to you. Hard to rejoice. Or maybe you have that past that's crept into your life. Paul says, rejoice. Maybe you made that purchase. You bought that nice boat, you know. And whoo, you keep spending money and money and money into that boat, and you can't seem to shake that purchase. Or maybe you have some more serious issues as well when it comes to maybe, hey, the boyfriend cheated on you, or the GPA plummeted and you can't get through and you're struggling. And yet Paul sits here and he writes, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. He doubles down and says, I will say it again, rejoice. It's difficult at times to rejoice in the Lord. And yet that's what Paul says. He says, hey, I'm sitting in jail. Don't know what my future is going to be, but I want to say it time and time again, rejoice in the Lord. Let's continue. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How could Paul, this man who is called to go and preach, is wound up in prison, how can he be rejoicing? It's simple. Paul held this notion, this fact in his life, this feature in his life. Paul had a praising perspective. Paul adopted the praising perspective. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Adopting that praising perspective in your life. Perspective is simply this: how you view things. How you view things. You ever heard that old classic line? Perspective is often your reality. Is often one's reality. That how you see things is what you are relegating to it actually being your reality in your life. Paul had a perspective to always praise, always rejoice. He viewed things a certain way. He could have viewed things different, but he chose to always have this praising perspective. Are you familiar with like the magic eye tricks kind of going on? Like, yeah, have you ever seen like one of those books and it has like, you see the image within the image? It's kind of weird. Well, this went viral some years ago. You can see, check this out, this dress picture. The team's gonna throw it up on the screen for me. Okay, now, this went viral several years ago. My wife and I remember we had a debate, literally, hey, what colors do you see? Now, if you look at the picture, raise your hand if you see white and gold. Right? Yeah. Raise your hand if you see blue and black. Guess what color it actually is? Blue and black. So if you see blue and black, you're holy. I see blue and black. My wife sees white and gold, you know? But what's fascinating about it is our minds, or our eyes place tricks on us. Here's another little picture I just found because we're a Christian church and we're all about Jesus. So I had to find one about Jesus where you see different faces and features of who Jesus is in this picture, in this art. And what's interesting about it is your perspective matters. The way you see things determines and forth which you're going. And Paul, who's sitting in prison, chose to always see things from a praising posture than from a negative side of things. And that brings me to two points in the ways you can see things in life. Two options when it comes down to viewing life situations. Option number one, you can adopt a praising perspective. You can adopt a praising perspective. It's an active word. You can do it constantly, consistently. It's a way of life that no matter what comes your way, you're going to choose to praise. Paul adopted this perspective. We see this very clearly in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12, 13. He's writing this church. He's very close to them, and he's caring for them. He says this, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel." So Paul is wrongly accused, shouldn't be in jail, speaking about Jesus, and he says it's actually in his best interest because it's advancing the gospel, his ultimate mission. In verse 13, he goes, "As a result, has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am here in chains for Christ." Bad situation made known for Jesus. Option, praising perspective. Second option you can have, and unfortunately, I feel like many people fall into this option when they're living their lives day in, day out, is the pain perspective. The pain perspective. When bad things hit, when hardship comes, when life happens, when pain of the past, you take the pain position. How could this happen to me? This hurts too bad. God, if you really loved me, you would see my pain and deliver me from my pain. God, no, like I didn't get this opportunity. I didn't have this option come through, so I'm going to give up. Dream's over. I can't do it anymore. I can't sleep. I'm done. Life is over. And many people, they fall into this pain perspective of life. Bad situation happens. I'm in pain. I can't move forward. In fact, I wonder how many of us in this place, if we had to write Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 13, would write something similar to this. "Now, what I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what's happened to me really sucks. God let me down. I'm overwhelmed with anxiety, depression, hopelessness. because of the hell I'm living through, I'm quitting church, I'm quitting the faith, and I'm removing myself from the faith group. Where if I asked you right now, in what perspective are you living and leading your lives? Is you choosing pain or are you choosing praise? That's where Paul's at. Paul's in this moment, he's in a jail cell. He's chained up. It doesn't look too opportunistic for him. And he says, rejoice always. I'll say it again. You got to rejoice. See, Paul could speak into this a little bit because this wasn't his first rodeo when it came to jail. Paul was a man that had some instances. Scholars kind of look and assess that he was in jail about six different times, if not more, when you calculate and look throughout Scripture. Paul spent some time. There's this one particular time in Acts chapter 16, and this is where we're going to spend the rest of our time together. Many of you, if you've been here, it's one of my favorite passages that I read. It's one of the most inspirational passages, I believe, in all of Scripture. Paul is walking through this town in Philippi. He's planting churches. He's with his band of misfits. He has Silas with him. He sings like lead number one backup. And then he has Timothy, Luke, and they're walking through and they're trying to plant churches. And as they're planting churches in the city of Philippi, they show up and they're going to a prayer meeting. They're trying to meet different Christians. Christians were few, far in between. You know, you drive right now down these roads, you see church here, church here, church here. You look around this room. They would be lucky to have as many Christians in their row in the city of Philippi as you are right now. So Paul, he's going down and he's speaking and he meets this lady by the name of Lydia. And as he's talking to Lydia and her house is knowing Jesus, he spends some days there. And as he's spending days in the city of Philippi, as he's just communicating the gospel, teaching people about Jesus, teaching people about the work of Jesus, on the what Jesus did on the cross, there's this demon-possessed girl, Scripture says, that harassed him and his band of misfits time and time again. So you look in Acts chapter 16, it says, day after day or every day Paul was there, there's this little girl, and she had an evil spirit in her. Her masters would use her to tell the future. And so what happens is Paul's walking. In the NIV translation, Paul looks back and is finally annoyed and says, be out, leave. Spirit leaves, boom. Girl comes to her own body and is back normal. Masters are mad. Their money revenue stream is over. The way they would predict the future is over. There's a supernatural realm. You got to be serious about it. You got to understand that you don't tinker with, you don't joke about, you don't even mess with. And I say that because this is what happens. The spirit leaves, the masters are frustrated. In Acts chapter 16, verse 22, we see what takes place. They get mad. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. The magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. Stripped and beaten with rods. Stripped for humility's sake. Stripped for people to look and see and look down upon. Beaten, physically abused. If they can break them physically, then maybe they will break them spiritually, mentally, and in their soul. So I want us to be very clear, because a lot of times when the pain perspective is so large, we ask God and we say, God, I'm always in this pain. I'm always in this agony. And it's important to note that in Paul's life, he's went through some pain. He's went through agony, and it's met him in a jail cell. He's been beaten. He's been shipwrecked. He's gone through things. And I think if you don't look or stress or get in God's word, then you can look and you filter all of our life through this. And if we're not serious about what God's word is saying to us, we can say, oh, this is just love. Like it should be all fairy tales, unicorns, cotton candy, picking flowers in the garden. When Paul gives his life for Jesus, starts following Jesus, starts committing to Jesus, and he went through some hardship in life. He went serving God led Paul to being abused, mistreated, flogged, wrongly convicted, and in jail. That's important for us to understand, because when it comes to our certain perspectives, we can just want to give up. In verse 16, verse 25 of Acts chapter 16, it says, "About midnight, though, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. The other prisoners were listening to them." I want you to underline that. Other prisoners were listening to them, if you're taking notes with us. In jail, midnight comes. They're praising, praying, and singing hymns. They're rejoicing in the real world. See, they went on to the prayer meeting. They're walking to the prayer meeting. Annoying person shows up in their life. They respond to the annoying person for her betterment, but frustrated the town. That prayer meeting turned a little bit. They go and they get rods on their back. They get spat upon. They get accused of doing ill-advised things. They're worshiping, though, when they are in their wasteland. They're worshiping, they are praising, they are praying when their energy is gone, when they're not feeling up to it, when they're not really wanting to lean in. And I want to encourage you, it is extremely easy to rejoice in God when you're in a bubble of righteousness with people. It is really hard to rejoice with God when the real world hits you square in the face. So you got to have a determination when life comes at you. How are you going to rejoice with God? When the real world strikes up, how are you going to rejoice with God? I tell young people all the time, a lot of times there's this thing and they happen to stay in their just church uniform and their church kind of like click and circle. And I'm like, guys, you got to understand, there's people who are, when they're developing, when they're growing up and they're getting big, there's real world things that take place that we don't plan for. And you got to prep yourself that I'm going to rejoice always no matter what I go through. Because sometimes it's really easy to say, hey, I'm about church. I only worship in church. I only hang out with Christian folk. I only do all these things. And we stay secluded and we stay kind of out in our own lane, in our own world. But you got to be willing to rejoice when you're not feeling like it. See, the guards, they made this huge mistake when it came to Paul and Silas. They kept the band together. They kept the band together. Simply put, when you put godly people together, there's going to be the power of God that's going to show up. When you put godly people together. See, the enemy wants you to do this. The enemy wants you to be isolated. The enemy doesn't want you to gather. The enemy is more like a sniper, that if they can get you alone, they're going to pick you off. The devil wants you to do your own thing, hang out with your own people, just be separate from God's church. I tell people this all the time. This is why your church family matters. Your family needs other Christian families. Your wife needs other spiritual and Christian ladies in her life. Men, you need other Christian brothers in your life. Because when you're just by yourself, when you're doing the isolated, insulated kind of ordeal and lifestyle, the enemy's saying, all right, you're looking good to me. I'm gonna get you. But see, look what happens. Paul and Silas, they're together. They're going through some hard things. They're laying on the dirt floor. And yet they're praising the Lord. Praising the Lord. See, big issue when I hear statements like, I love Jesus, I just don't go to church. You're not operating, you're not around people who need a little bit of maybe help in life. You're not operating in the full capacity in your life. You're not operating in God's intent and ideal for your life. Big issue there. Paul and Silas in Acts 16, they're praising while they were in prison. This is what this teaches us. When they're going through something hard, when they're going through life, I want you to capture this. Note this, write this down. We praise not for what God has done or can do. We praise God because of who He is. It's not a what, it's a who issue. I praise God for who He is, not what He can do for me. It's easy to praise, it's easy to high five when everything is going right. It's really hard to praise, it's really hard to high five when everything is not going all right. We praise before the provision. Spoiler alert, many of you, you're familiar with this story. You know what's happening. You know what's taking place that goes on. They're praising, they're singing, it's midnight, they're praying, they're calling on God, they're saying, God, show up, we don't know what's going on. They're praising him for who he is. They're in this circumstance, they don't know again the outcome. They're in this situation, they don't know what's going to happen. And they're praising, they're calling on God. Earthquake happens, doors open, chains become loose. The guard who's on site, he fears for his life. He's about to impale himself on a sword. Paul yells down the hall, don't do it, we're all here. See, it's important when you look back in this story, it says they were praying and singing hymns, and all the others were listening. The other prisoners were listening. I think it's important because then you read on, the earthquake happens in Acts 16, all the doors open. Everyone in prison could have escaped. But these individuals who were praising God, who were praying, who were singing these hymns, were looking at Paul and Silas and they're saying, like, there's something special about those guys praising God. They don't move. The prisoners could have had a jailbreak. They don't move. So oftentimes when we read this story in Acts 16, and we look at Paul and Silas, say they could have taken off and they would have been free and they would have ran, and then the jailer could have killed himself and called the goods, because at that time, if a Roman guard lost a prisoner, your life was pretty much as good as over. But there's other people locked up. So it wasn't these guys, the other individuals. We're looking and saying, there's something different about these guys. The point being is this, there's moments in life where you're gonna have to pray, where you're gonna have to sing, where you're gonna have to call on God, shout his name, glorify his name, and you're doing it to intercede for someone else in your life. You have other people in your life that are gripped by chains. You have other people in your life that are prisoners. You have other people in your life that don't have a relationship with the Lord. And yet, how are you rejoicing the Lord? How are other people looking at your life and saying, man, you're rejoicing God and you have a bad situation. That's unique. You're rejoicing God and man, there's some issues. There's some things you're battling physically. How do you do that? Paul's saying, rejoice always. There's moments when I'm down here on the front row. I share a little bit about some of the things we went through the past couple years. There's moments that I don't even sing the lyrics. I'm just stepping in. I'm saying, God, I need you to protect my family. God, I need you to be with my wife. God, I need you to be with me because I'm about to go speak. And I don't know, like right now, I can't even remember my name. You know, like God, like help me. God, I need your Holy Spirit. God, I need you to lead me. God, I pray over our community. God, I pray over Southwest Florida. God, I pray that lives are changed. I pray that marriages are restored. God, right now, there are people that I am asking you to deliver from their oppression, from what they've gone through, from their histories, from their past, so they can have a life-changing relationship with you. It all started in this praising and rejoicing moment. There's people I've prayed for, and I love this, because no one will know who it is except me, the guy behind this pulpit, that I've prayed for 5 or 6 years, that are coming to church, getting connected, that are taking their steps, journey in faith. They got no idea. They're like, hey, Blake, we're here. I'm like, I'm glad you're here. There's people I've prayed for 3 years and nothing happened. And they show up and they walk into church one day and they say, hey, Blake, I gave my life to the Lord. I'm like, come on. See, there's a lot of times when you praise, when you rejoice, it's not just singing, it's praying. It's maybe singing, maybe it's going on prayer walks. Maybe it's having conversation. Rejoice in the Lord always. So I want us to capture this. We praise God when he delivers, and we also praise God when he doesn't. Because we praise God for who he is. In Acts 16:25, when we look at the story. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken at once. All the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. Can you imagine this scene right here that Paul has? Silas has. I mean, they're beaten, their nose are broken, their eyes are swelled shut, they're bleeding, they're scraped. They don't know what's gonna happen. Broken ribs. I lean over, and a couple dudes in the jail cell together. Lean over and say, "Hey man, you wanna sing and you wanna pray?" Imagine this, like this is what happened. Like Silas trying to keep up with Paul probably is like, "Hey, Paul, I know you think I probably got a good voice right now, but I'm probably not going to be able to hit the notes. I'm a little nasally. My nose is broken. Like, I can't really do it right now." Paul's like, "Hey, let's just do it, man." And they're praising and they're singing. And God is just saying, like, these guys are getting it. These guys have it. These guys are rejoicing in the Lord always. And then you fast forward in Paul's life, and he writes in the book of Philippians, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Rejoice." See, the praising perspective is key to unlocking God's miracles in your life. It's the key to unlocking someone else's miracles in their life. It's the key to having God work to his fulfillment in your life. Are you looking life as, "Man, I got all this stuff going on. Dreams are over." Are you saying, "God, I'm going to praise you. I don't know what kind of opportunity I have. I don't know what I'm faced with. I don't know what's going to take place. I don't know how it's going to shake out. God, I got questions. I'm searching. But God, I'm just going to praise you. I'm going to praise you." Church, I'm going to invite you to do just that. I'm going to invite each and every one of us, go ahead and stand with me. As we're concluding today, we're just going to take this opportunity. I'm going to invite the prayer team down. They're going to pray up here. It says, "Praising and singing hymns, praying and singing hymns." And we're going to take this moment. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're faced with. I don't know how life is treating you right now. But I know you have an option. You can choose pain or you can choose praise. What are you going to saturate yourself in? "God, I need your Holy Spirit. God, I need you to lead me. God, I'm calling on your name. God, I need you in this time. I'm going to choose to rejoice every day. I'm going to pray," and then let's just give it to God. Let's just praise him right now. You need prayer, our team will be for, and we're just taking time. We're going to rejoice. God, right now in this house, we just call on your name. We worship you. We praise you. We rejoice in all circumstances. Lord, I don't know what each and every person is going through, but I do know you are a God that sees us, that hears us, that cares for us, that loves us. And so we give you this moment right now. May this house be a house of worship, a house of prayer. And we're just going to rejoice right now in our Heavenly Father.
Hey, thanks for listening today. If you have any questions or would like to speak to someone concerning this message, we invite you to fill out our online communication card at faithnfm.com. And if you're able, we'd love to have you with us in person on Sundays at 9 a.m. or 10:45 a.m. or on the best night of the week for Wednesday prayer at 7 p.m. We're at 7101 Bayshore Road in North Fort Myers, just 2 miles west of I-75 at exit 143. Thanks again for listening.